with most of the scripture, not most, I would say all of the scriptures have relevance to what we're dealing with today. So God was purposeful in giving out that information and sharing through the Holy Spirit with the writers of these passages of scripture. And it's very important that we spend time understanding and reading and getting what God has for us through the scriptures. And I can say even for myself, every time I read the scripture, I always get a new revelation. It's always something new. It's never just the same thing. It's always something new. And I'm honored by that, and I appreciate that because I hunger for more. I shared with someone just recently that I want to pour out everything that God has given to me. You know, and in order to pour something out, in order to pour it all out, you got to get rid of some stuff. So in order for him to give you more, you got to let some stuff go. So being able to do this here and share God's word is so important. And as well as gentleman I was here today with talking to, I was sharing about our testimonies. Those testimonies that we have, those trials, even the good times that we go through, being able to share them with someone else. We don't even know how much that could affect someone else's life. And I used to wonder, because Jesus said, greater works will you do through the words of your testimony. I'm like, how are we going to do greater works than Jesus? That's Jesus. And what I realized is it was only one of him, and he just had his testimony. But it's all of us, and if each one of us share our testimony of what God has done in our life, how much more work can we do? You know, and that's what he's saying. We, each one of us are a disciple in ourselves. Amen? So I want to close on last week, because we didn't really get to finish chapter 15 before we go on to this here, chapter 16. And key themes and takeaways from Proverbs 15. Words have power. Words have power. And speak with wisdom, gentleness, and purpose. See, you know, that last week after I shared this here, I went home. I spoke about my brother during that time when I was here, and I got an opportunity to speak to my brother later on, and he had no idea this was what we were speaking about, and he was sharing how much, even to today, that some things that he felt back then, he still feel we still have that same vision of him now. And as he was sharing that with me and some of the things he said, I said to him, I realized it kind of emphasized or it could make him feel that way. Definitely if you haven't been healed. If you haven't been healed from your brokenness, sometimes things that you hear could be triggers to make you remember those things. And even if it's not true, if it's not based off of that, because you haven't been healed from that hurt of those words back then, you feel that way, you know. So I had to hear what he was saying, and I realized how much that us sometimes saying that, yo, when you gonna get it together, you know, it brings back, it reinforces, like, you never do nothing right, or you always telling lies, you know, you don't have your stuff together. It just reinforces that negative stereotype that he had. You ain't no good. You're always a lie. You're always doing something wrong. You know? And hearing that made me realize, okay, how much of a part am I still playing in his life on that? Because he hasn't been healed, obviously. You know? And sometimes we don't even realize how much of an impact our words are having on other people. You know, and that's why I told him, I said, I was glad he shared that with me, because I had no idea how much of what I was currently saying was affecting him. You know, even though I had the best intentions for him, just like I shared, and he shared that, he's like, yeah, I know. He said, but it still plays a part. It still reinforces that negative thought of me. You know, so we have to realize, family, words have power. And he says, speak wisdom, gentleness, and purpose. Speak wisdom, gentleness, and purpose. It says, avoid reckless, argumentative, and or harsh language. You know, I grew up in a household where you heard a lot of harsh language. You know, and even arguments, you see that. And sometimes if you grew up in an environment like that, you kind of think that this is how you communicate. You know, and it becomes a part of your vocabulary. You know, and you may be, you could be talking and you be talking loud and not even realize how loud you're talking. And it could sound aggressive to some people. You know, so we gotta be mindful of some of those things. And the only way you can be mindful, you gotta just take a self-evaluation. You know, you gotta look at yourself and recognize some of the things that you may be doing if you hear it. Number two, it says, God sees and delights in the upright. God sees and delights in the upright. See, God sees everything. There's nothing that we do that God can't see. You know, we think we're doing stuff in the dark and nobody knows about it, but God knows. God knows. And sooner or later, it's going to come to light. But what God want to see, he want to see you upright. He want to see you doing the right thing so he can delight in it. You know, I was sharing with someone, I said that God gets glory out of your success. And I said, so if some things you've been praying for and you asking God for and you haven't seen it happen yet, do some self-evaluating, because God, he's working on you to get you to a point so when he give it to you, you're going to be successful with it. See, the enemy will give us some stuff we ain't ready for. And he don't tell us the consequences of it. You know? But when it's gone, then we want to blame God. But we got something that we wasn't ready for. God delights in the upright. So when we doing it right, and he going to get the glory out of it, because we're going to be doing it right and we're going to be successful with it. God wants success, and that's how he gets glory out of it. Then it says, righteousness, prayer, and honesty pleases God. Righteousness, prayer, and honesty pleases God. That prayer is so important. That's our opportunity to petition God. And that's what we got to get in our close faith. I was reading something about prayer and just really trying to understand more about prayer, because for me, growing up, being a young Christian early on, I really didn't understand prayer. You see people pray, and you're like, I don't pray like that, you know? And I realized when I was obeyed and I was speaking with God, I heard God and he heard me, and I spoke to him just like I'm speaking to you right now. See, God don't look, he's not looking for you to thou is this and all. He's not looking for you to try to impress him. He wants you to be who you are. Be honest and upfront with him. He wants you to have conversation with him. And that's what it's about. That's what prayer is about. You know, and it's not about being around a whole group of people. And somebody, I heard a pastor say this. And he said, when he's in his quiet place, when he's praying, is different than when he's praying around other people. He said he found himself, and he had to check himself. He said he found himself trying to, instead of praying to God, impress people. You know, he wanted people to feel his prayer. He said, when people start giving praise, keep praying. It is touching me. You know, but we're touching the wrong people. We're supposed to be praying to God, not to people. We pray for people, but not to people. See, so we doing it the wrong way. And as a young Christian, I used to hear people pray, and I'm like, my prayers don't sound like that. And I thought I was doing something wrong. And God had to deal with me with that. Because sometimes we resist praying to God because it don't sound like somebody else's prayer. And God just wants us to have conversation with him. Talk to him just like you're talking to your friend. That's what he wants. And then it says here, God watches both the righteous and the wicked. He watches both the righteous and the wicked. Nothing is hidden And that's what we got to be mindful of. Because sometimes we see, we like, these people are doing, they be doing the right thing, and why they seem like they're prospering. See, perception, we think they're prospering. But the reality is, they ain't really prospering. They don't have no peace. We have no idea what some of these people had to go through to get to where they at. And we chasing after, we worried about what they got. He said he watches over the, both the righteous and the wicked. So you just got to worry about yourself. Just continue walking on that righteous path. You be the best version of yourself you can be. Amen? Number three, humility. Humility welcomes correction. We got to welcome correction. You know, I said last week, sometimes I've learned how to shut my mouth. When my wife says something to me, I just be quiet sometimes and do some self-reflecting to make sure, let me do some self-reflecting. Is that true? What she's saying? Is it just true? Do I have to really do some deep dive into myself, you know, before I say something? Because see, in our flesh, we want to respond. We want to react. And in business management, they told us all the time, come with something positive. If you want to correct somebody, come with something positive. And everybody don't have that. And they don't know how to come with something positive. They just come with, listen, you ain't doing this right, you know, and then you got to deal with that. And what happens is, in our flesh, we want to respond in that way, you know. So I've learned to hear it out with some humility and be able to accept correction. Because if you know these people have your best interests at hand, you believe that they're not going to tell you anything that's going to be against you. They want to see you grow and see you be better. So we got to be able to receive, welcome correction. Welcome correction. And here it is, says, correction isn't a curse, it's a gift. Correction isn't a curse, it's a gift. It's a blessing to get correction. Because just imagine if you just went around and doing the thing wrong all the time and nobody told you you was doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. How silly would you feel? I mean, that's terrible for somebody to know you doing it wrong, continue to allow you to do it that way and not say nothing to you. So when someone corrects you, just be thankful for it. That's a gift. Because you go, I would hope you want to be better. You want to be better. You know, I was sharing with the kids today. I had some kids I pulled to the side. I'm like, look, I know you guys are good, but you're just making some mistakes. So I'm giving you an opportunity not to make no mistakes. And it's not just for the day. I'm going to be watching you for the rest of the week. I want you to make some right choices the rest of the week. But lo and behold, not too long after, I had to correct them again. You know, but this time it had to come with some discipline. You know, because you know better, but now you're just making a choice. And if we continue to allow people to do the wrong thing, and this is what happens with us, you know, we don't want to deal with the consequences. We want that greasy grace. We want that grace that we don't have to, there's no consequences to it. You know, and that's something that the enemy has given to you for a minute, but in reality, there's going to be some consequences. You might not see it, but you be so far down and so far removed from your relationship with God that it'll take you a while to get back up. And that's what we got to be careful of, because the enemy, he allowed you to do what you want to do, as long as you want to do it, but he ain't telling you how far down and away from God and away from your purpose you're going. You know, and then you got that normal hill to climb, but I want you to rest assured you can still climb it with God. Can't do it by yourself, but with God. Yes, ma'am. God, the Bible says he chases whom he loves, he's disciplining us to get us to do positive behavior. Yes, yes. You know, and too often, you know, I was sharing with a parent today that we're in a society that there's no more village. You know, when I grew up in the 70s, there was a village. There was a village there. You know, there was nothing that you can do that wouldn't get back to your parents. You know, and not only would it not get back to your parents, but you had to deal with Miss Reedus or Miss Rhonda because they were going to deal with you first and then take you to your parents. They was going to not want to know them personally, and so you was going to get double for your trouble. You know, and I think that helped us a lot. That helped us a lot. You know, definitely we didn't, you had single family households, you know, because in some way or another, we all grew up with some loss, some lack, you know, but having that village allowed us to have some peace, some love, some connection. And I think that this is something that's missing. However, we, the body of Christ, who have a relationship with God, we can change that within the circumference that we're in. You know, we don't have to allow the world to dictate what we know is right. You know, we can't be afraid of correcting something that's wrong. You know, we can't walk around in that fear. We got to walk around in that boldness of who God called us to be. You know, and sometimes that can be somewhat intimidating because you don't know what other people are thinking. So we do have to use wisdom. We do have to use wisdom. But if you recognize someone who wants correction or needs correction, and you have that opportunity to pour into them, please do that. Yes. 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 And that's the key. And that's the key. Like even growing up, when I knew I was getting corrected, I knew it was in love. You know, even if it came from Miss Reedus or Miss Rhonda, I knew they was doing it in love because I was doing something wrong. So they was there to help my mom out who wasn't there at that present time. And then it says here, a teachable heart grows in favor and understanding. A teachable heart grows in favor and understanding. And there is saying that with a teachable heart, you're able to receive the blessings. You know, I was sharing with Pastor Wayne's son. I met Dr. Williams 20 years ago. And I had no idea that it would bring me to this point in my life 20 years ago. And I met him just because his daughter and my son went to the same school and his daughter was having a pool party. And I wanted to know, who let their daughter have a pool party with boys? And I needed to meet the parents. You know, and lo and behold, I met Pastor Ray and found out he was a pastor and just shared my testimony. I just came home the year before and just moved down here to Delaware and he just poured into me and didn't ask me anything about my past, but just asked me about where I was going. You know, and I think that's so important. You know, it's not about where you come from, it's where you're going. You know, and our job is to help lead people to that next destination. You know, that's what God has called us to. And that's what that is right there. So just I pray that we just open ourselves up and those who are looking to go to another level, have a teachable heart. Be able to receive. And one thing too, be able to receive critical, not critical. Well, it can be critical. Criticism, you know, being able to receive criticism in love, you know, because all they want to do is see you grow and be better, and that's the key. They want to see you grow and be better. Joy and contentment comes from within. Joy and contentment comes from within. That is so powerful. And I think, family, you need to grab hold of that. Your joy and contentment comes from within. It don't come from without. It don't come from money. It don't come from your girlfriend. It don't come from your husband. It don't come from your wife. It don't come from your children. It don't come from nobody outside. It comes from within. Because guarantee you, one way or the other, somebody gonna disappoint you or let you down. And then what happened? How are you gonna let someone else steal your joy? You know, I tell the kids all the time, I see them walking around here mad. I'm like, how you give somebody that power over you to steal your joy? You know, if I know I got that authority over you and I can make you unhappy or disappointed, I got power over you. And God don't want you to give that power to nobody. Nobody. He wants you to that power over in you. And that's why I tell people all the time that if something ain't going right, God is not going to give anybody else that authority over your life. He said, when he created you and gave you dominion. He gave us dominion. So nothing outside of us can cause to stop us from fulfilling the purpose that God has for us. The only one that can do that is us. That's it. And the enemy has duped us to believe that they got power over us. Or that God is holding back on us. And the same thing that Adam and Eve was dealing with in the garden, we're still dealing with it right now. When God is holding back on us for some things, or somebody else is holding back some things from us, or we point the finger at someone else. The same thing that happened, you think about it, the same thing that happened in the garden, we still dealing with it in this present day. The next one. A cheerful heart sustains you through hard days. A cheerful heart, and that's what we talk about, that joy comes from within. Your joy and peace come from within. So even when you got those hard times, you know that those two shall pass. And then it says, number five, the fear of the Lord leads to wisdom. And when we talk about fear, Proverbs talk about that fear all the time. And when we think about fear, we think, be scared of God. God don't want you to be scared. He wants you to just reverence him, to honor him, to respect him. I tell people all the time, I said, one thing I learned when I was away was that how my actions wasn't just affecting me, how it was affecting the people who I say I love. So if you say you love someone, that's a reverence, that's a fear, hurting them. You don't want to disappoint them, you don't want to let them down. You know, so you're going to do everything you can to honor them, to respect them, to show them that you care for them, that you love them. And I realized when I was away, because God dealt with me, I'm like, I'm doing this here for my brothers and sisters, blah, blah, blah. I made all type of excuses. He was like, who's taking care of them now? You know, all those things you said you was doing, who's doing it now? See, because you put yourself in a position to take you out. You know, so that's not real love. You really wasn't thinking about them because you would have thought about the consequences of your actions. It would have pulled you out of position. And that's so that's why I make sure every decision I make, I think about how it's going to affect the people who I say I love. And that's what he's talking about, that fear, that reverence. Yeah. Now, when you say, I said not real love, as far as with my siblings,
yeah.
Well, not that it wasn't real love, it was not really understanding what love is. You know, because, see, if I loved them, I wouldn't have did anything that would took me out of position to take care of them.
Yeah.
You know, and we look at our parents and we look at people who we say we love or they say they love us, and we look at the actions that they do. Is it represent love? You know, and that's what God was showing me. He said, your actions don't represent the love that you say you have. You know, and that's the important part. Our actions should represent that. Our actions should go before us. We don't even have to say nothing. You know, our actions should show that we love them. You know, and that's what I tell the kids. I ask the kids all the time. I say, look, you want to disappoint your parents? I say, so if you do what you're supposed to do, that's the greatest way you can honor your parents, by being the best version of yourself while you're here in school. Because that's all they want to see you do. Yes, definitely. So, and like I said, this is something that God dealt with me with, as far as, because we get caught up with that fear thing, and God doesn't want us to fear him. He wants us to honor him and have a reverence and a respect. See, when we talk about fear, fear freezes every available resource. That's an acronym. Fear freezes every available resource. And if you have a fear of something, you eliminate the resource of it. You know, and God don't want you to have a fear. It's a reverence, it's an honor, it's a respect of him. That you when you see him, you know, I think about back in the days, and I keep reference to this here. Because there was a way we conducted ourselves when elders was around in our neighborhoods, regardless of what most of us, regardless of what neighborhood you were from, there was a certain reverence that you had for the elders that was in the neighborhood. That you definitely would never do it and allow them to see you doing a certain thing in their presence, you know. Compared to someone else who you had no respect for, you know, and this is the same thing with God, where even if he's not present, you can't see him. There's a reverence, there's a respect that you have for him, that you honor him, and in spite of, you know, and the enemy wants us to have a fear instead of a reverence over him. You know, he wants us to have a fear where if you do this here, these are the consequences. It's always a consequence next to your relationship with God. That's what the enemy wants you to have. Where God wants you to have a reverence to him. You know, where you don't want to do it because it's a disappointment. Because it doesn't represent who God is. You know, it doesn't represent who your parents are. You're not going to do something that's going to dishonor your parents. You know, and because you have a reverence for your parents, you're not going to do things that's going to dishonor them. And that's the same thing with God. You know, I don't know if I explained that. I tried to do the best as I could. But that's what he's talking about, that fear and then how it leads to wisdom. And then it says, it's the foundation of the wise and the blessed life. It's the foundation of a wise and blessed life. And then it says here, humility before God precedes honor from God. Goes back to that thing we was just talking about. Humility before God precedes honor from God. Having humility before God. You know, and that's that part where I was talking about that love. It goes before the words. You know, your actions, you showing that you have an honor and a respect for. You know, there's some things right now that I used to do that I no longer do. You know, not that I can't do it, but I have no desire to do it because I'm at a different stage in my life, and in doing that, it would dishonor myself, and most of all, it would dishonor God and my family. And that's what we have to be mindful of. So, they have a couple of questions here that we can ask ourselves. It says, how are my words affecting the people around me? And these are questions that you can ask yourself based off of what we just talked about. And these are things that you can do some self-reflecting on. How are my words affecting the people around me? And number two, it says, am I open? And we're, for people who may be looking, we're just reflecting back on chapter 15 of Proverbs. Am I open to correction or do I resist it? Am I open to correction or do I resist it? Third question is, what is the source of my joy and is it lasting? What is the source of my joy and is it lasting? And that goes back to, where do you get your joy from? Does the joy come from within, or it come from an outer source? It come from money, it come from your spouse, it come from children, it come from getting appreciations, different things like that. Or is it within you? You know, those are the things. And it says here, number four, do I surround myself with wise counsel? Do I surround myself with counsel? I say all the time, I thank God for my faith father's family. You know, because those are people who I can go to. I can remember I shared with somebody, when I first came home, I knew I couldn't go back to my old neighborhood because that's all I knew. And you go back to what you're comfortable with. So I had to remove myself from my comfort zone. You know, and that's important because, see, people will give you what you want. But it's not always good for you. You know, and not that they're bad, but that's all they know. You know, so they can't give you something they don't know. You know, and so if you want something more, you got to get around. You got to get around somebody who wants to give you something different. So it's important to surround yourself around wise counsel. Surround yourself around people who got more than you or who are doing more than you. You know, because those are goals, aspirations. You know, not that you want to have what they got, but you want to understand how you get to that point, because if you only know what you know. So you got to have wise counsel around you. And it says here, number five, I'm walking in humility and the fear of the Lord. I'm walking in humility and the fear of the Lord. Amen? So that's chapter 15. All right, and we spent a half an hour on that. So let's turn to chapter 16, and this is a powerful one here. This is the one we're gonna have some fun with. So here, verse 1-4, and I'm gonna read out of the. It starts off. I'm gonna pull up my glasses. It starts off here. The preparation of the heart belongs to man. But the answers of the tongue is from the Lord. Verse 2. All of the ways of man are pure in his own eyes. I'm going to say that again. Are pure in his own eyes. But the Lord weighs the spirit. Verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. That's powerful. And verse 4, the Lord has made all things for himself, yes, even the wicked, for the day of doom. Wow. So here it talks about verse 1. To humans belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. In verse 9, it says, well, we didn't even get to verse 9. But here's a key point. It is not wrong to plan, but we must recognize that God directs the outcome. And that's why it's important to be in prayer. It's important being to be in prayer when you're looking for direction of where you're trying to go. You know, when I was away, God told me to write down where I see myself at 65. And honestly, I was still in prison during that time. And I had no idea when I was going to be free. But he told me to write down where I see myself. And I had no idea how it was going to come about. But God knew. God knew. And I began to write that vision out, and I still have that paper till today. I still have that paper till today, and I reference back to it. Yes, ma'am. Where I thought I would see myself? Well, one of the things I thought I would see myself, I said I was going to give back to my community for the wrongs I did. I was going to do all I can to help other young men and women know who they are, who God is, so they don't have to go through what I went through, you know, to know that. You know, I wanted to open up a community center, you know, and give back, have my own business. Those are things I wanted to do. Lo and behold, here I am working in a school, you know, where I'm speaking into 200 kids, like I'm a pastor, had no idea that this will be a part of my life. I have my own home. I have my own business. You know, so a lot of the things that I wrote down on paper manifest itself in my life. But I will tell you, it wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of me. It was because I trusted God. And I trusted the people that He placed in my life to give me some knowledge, some information, some insight of some things that I didn't know. Because I went away when I was 19 years old. I worked one job, and I'm being transparent here. I worked one job when I was out there, and I got fired because I stole. Being transparent. My first job, real jobs working, was when I was in the penitentiary. I learned all my trades, went to college and everything while I was locked up. And I was able to apply some of those things when I came home. You know, but all those things happened while I was in there. And most of it happened after I wrote that vision down. Most of it happened after I wrote that vision down. So when you write those visions, you confide in God and ask Him. Because see, He already has plans in place for you. See, we got to bring them down from the heavens. So we got to work in conjunction with God. And the only way we can work in conjunction with God, we got to be in prayer. We got to be in that private place with Him and spend time with Him. That's going to be very important. And it says here, God's purposes overrides our preferences. That's powerful right there. God's purposes overrides our purposes. There's some men we like, some women we like, there's some jobs we like, there were some opportunities we like that wasn't for us. But we wanted it. And sometimes we even chased after it and had to deal with the repercussions of it. Because it didn't line up with God. Listen. Before I went away from prison that time, each time I got in trouble, I prayed to God and said, Lord, you get me out of this mess. I ain't going to do it again. I'm going to do it differently. You know, but as soon as I got out of that trouble, as soon as I got out of that situation, and time went on, I wanted to go back to what I wanted to do, my preference. My preference. And it wasn't one time that he got me out of that situation. It wasn't twice he got me out of that situation. It wasn't three times he got me out of those different situations. Until I got so far removed from him that I had to go down before I could come back up. And thank God he allowed me the opportunity to come back up, because some go down and never make it back up. You know, and that's the important part. So, and I say that everybody here, those out there who may be watching, you're watching right now because, I'm praying that you don't go no further down because God wants you to go up. But it takes you to trust his purpose, not your preference. Amen? So here it says, key points. It's not wrong to plan, but we must recognize that God directs the outcome. God's purpose overrides our preference. The wise submit their plans to the Lord in humility and trust. I'll say that again. The wise submit their plans to God, to the Lord, with in humility and trust. You trust in him. You know, even when I wrote down that vision, there were some points where I was questioning when it was going to come to pass. Because I didn't go home that first time I went to my board. I didn't go home that second time I went to my board. It took 3 times, and each time it was 2 years. So, believe you me, I was murmuring and complaining. I'm like, Lord, why, what is going to happen? And this is what we do when God has given us a vision for something and we don't see it come to pass. We begin to murmur and complain. And that's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to give up on what God said is for us. He wants to put obstacles in our way to stop us. And what I say all the time, I've learned that when I see obstacles in front of me, I say, Lord, what you want me to learn from that? Because what the enemy meant for me to stumble, you meant for me to go up on. So I'm going to make it stepping stones instead of stumbling blocks. And that's the purpose. And I realized that while I was in there, because had he let me go when I thought I was ready, I would have been back. And as I said before, and I say this over, I've seen many good people in there, out here, who have a good heart, who want to do the right thing, but don't go the full point where God wants to take them, and the enemy give them a little something, and that wound up taking them further down. And I see so many good brothers go home and come back, and now they got life on the end, and they never go home. And some of them out in the street, they go down that path where they may never come back. You know, AIDS, different, so many different ways, that just different things, because we want to do our preference and not what God is calling us to do. And this is what this proverb verse is talking about. So one of the lessons here, plan prayerfully, but walk open-handed. Walk open-handed. Walk with receiving and being able to give. Walk open-handedly. Don't walk with a closed fist. Because one thing, with a closed fist, you can't get nothing in and you can't get nothing out. You have that open hand, you can receive and you can give. And that's what God is saying. He being open to receive and being able to give. Like I said, I want to be to the point where every time he's pouring, I'm pouring out. Every time he's pouring, I'm pouring out. I want to leave here empty. I don't want to have nothing left when I leave this earth. I want to be empty. I want to be all poured out. And it says, trust God's purpose. Trust that God's purpose prevails even when it redirects your intentions. Even when it redirects your intentions. And that's the part with us trusting God. No, listen. And people probably heard me say this over and over again because this is my testimony. I only can give what I got. I can't share someone else's testimony. I was working for McDonald Corporation for 10 years, and God told me it was time for me to leave. And I ain't gonna leave. I was making $70,000 a year there, and I was just. That was early stages. You know, it was so much more. Had a company car, everything. Just ran my own restaurant, $3.5 million restaurant, running 40 employees plus. And he said, it's time to go. And I'm like, Lord, I just bought a house. My niece and nephew's living with us. How's that going to work out? All he said to me was, who are you going to trust? That's what he said. That's all I heard. Who are you going to trust? I'm like, look, I was on, after 10 years, they gave you 2 months paid sabbatical. 2 month paid vacation. And that was my year. I was supposed to take that. And I'm like, Lord, can I just take this? I'll do it after this year. I ain't hear nothing else. So I went with what my purpose was. So I put my time in for my vacation. 4 months went by. It was in May of 2016. And I was telling my bosses, we got to let them know 2 months ahead. Make sure, because the schedule get written out. I said, make sure you got my sabbatical down there. And they was like, they ain't tell you. All I heard was, who you gonna trust? They was like, yeah, it's too many managers out right now, so you ain't gonna be able to go on your sabbatical. They gonna put you, you're gonna be first next year. You talk about someone hurt, someone disappointed. I went home that day and told my wife, I told her about the situation, and she already knew what God told me. She already knew because I shared with her. And she already told me, whatever you got to do, you got to do, I'll do what I need to do to help you so we'll be okay. I said, babe, we got to do that. I said, I'm here to get my 2 weeks notice. And she was like, okay, you do what you got to do. She was in my corner 100%. That's why I said, important to make sure you got the right type of people around you. Because it could have been easy for her to say, what? You're going to leave your job? What are we going to do? How you going to do that? I got your nieces and nephews here living with us. We just got this house. All of these. She didn't say nothing. She said, we're going to figure it out. She said, that's what she said. You know, and I went back to my job, and my job was like, yeah, I gave my 2 weeks notice. They was like, well, can you stay on for an extra amount of time? They asked me, can I stay on for a couple of months more? And I said, okay. You know, it wasn't affecting anything. I said, okay. I stood around for a couple of months more. And lo and behold, that was 2016. I haven't been back. It's 2021. I haven't been back. God plans work. See, that's why it's so important for us to trust God, hear what he has to say. This is my testimony. And so many of us have different testimony. It might not have been to that extent, but there was something God told you to do, and you was obedient and did it, and you didn't know how it was going to work out, but it worked out. And that's the problem. We got to trust God beyond our own understanding. He has your best interests at heart. You know, I had a young man, and I think I shared this last week, where he was telling me stop messing with drugs was too hard for him. I've been doing it for so long. I said, it's not hard. It's a choice. I said, I lost my mother. I didn't have a choice in that. That was hard. But I still made it. And that's the same thing with your choice with these drugs and different situations, men, money, jobs, those things are just temporary. We make them more than what they should be. And God telling us our joy and peace comes from within. He ain't going to give nothing outside of us authority to take our joy and peace away. And that's what the enemy wants us to believe, that our joy and peace is outside of us. There's some people who we in the world may think they don't have nothing, but they got peace. There's some people who are out on the street right now who don't want to go into the world way of living because they got peace. They're okay. God continue to provide for them each and every day. They're like the children in the wilderness. Some of them are by choice. Some of them are by circumstances. But what I'm saying to you is when God tells you to do something, trust him. He got a plan in place that's already been set in stone. We abort God's plan in our lives. We abort it the same way Adam and Eve did. We abort it. Verse 5. It says here, in verse 5, it says, everyone who is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. Then it says here in verse 6, it says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. By the fear of the Lord, that comes back up again, that fear part. So here it says, pride versus humility. Pride goes before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. See, too often we get pride for in ourselves. You know, I can do it all by myself. I can figure it out. You know, and we only know what we know. We only know what we want. We don't know what's really down the road. We only can assume. You know, and that's what God's telling us, to trust him more than we trust in ourselves, more than we trust in someone else. You know, some of us get these jobs and we think, oh, I got this job. I think about those people in the government before January 5th. Before January 6th, they thought everything was good. And some of them probably even voted for Trump, but had no idea what was coming down the line. And their life and some of the things that they planned was based off of that job security that they had. And now that was taken away. And just imagine when you put everything in that one situation, your life, you basing your life on that, and now that's taken away, and you have nothing to do. You can't stop it. You know, and it happens so often. Oh. All right, and it says here, pride is offensive to God. He detests arrogance. And then it says, humility may seem lowly, but it leads to honor and perseverance. Preservation. It leads to honor and preservation. Humility. That's why it's so important for us to have humility. It's so important for us to have humble hearts and trusting God and even trusting some people. You know, and sometimes we can get weary of trusting people because we've been disappointed and let down by people. But see, when you're around wise counsel, and that's why I said try the Spirit by the Spirit, and that's why it's important for us to be in relationship with God, and because you know, women got better intuition than men, you know, so you can feel when something ain't right, and too often because sometimes it's not our preference, what we preference, we ignore what we feel. You know, and still go into it. And that's why you got to trust with God. God gave you that spirit for a reason. And we got to trust that spirit. When it tells us something, we got to be obedient to it. And it says here, pride blinds us and sets us up for downfall. Pride blinds us and sets us up for downfall. So the lessons here is, embrace humility as a lifestyle, not just a virtue. A lifestyle. And then it says, pride is a silent destroyer. Check your heart often. Pride is a silent destroyer. Check your heart often. We got to check ourselves sometimes because that pride, I ain't going to tell nobody. You know, we want to carry things that God don't want us to carry. He placed people in our lives to help us in some areas, but we become too prideful and don't want to be vulnerable. You know, and God wants us to be vulnerable, most of all to him. And then he placed people in our lives who love and care for us, who we need to be able to let some things go. You know, sometimes we got to let that weight off our shoulders. Sometimes we try to be carrying stuff and don't express it, and it becomes more weightier and weightier. It's heavier and heavier. You know, because we're too prideful and we don't want to be vulnerable or let nobody know what's going on or how we feel. And that becomes a weight, and the enemy uses that against us. He knows our weakness. He knows what we're going through, just like God knows. God wants us to let it go. The enemy wants us to hold on to it. God wants us to let it go, and the enemy wants us to hold on to it. I'm going to hit verse 6 through 8, and then we're going to close. And it says, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Verse 7, when a man ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In verse 8, better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. I'm going to say that again. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. You know, and earlier I spoke about how we look at some people and be like, yo, they ain't doing stuff right, and they got all this. We look at them and think they really blessed. Or they got more than what we got, and we doing all the right things, and why am I struggling? You know, and we start questioning things, and what I want to say to you is, be thankful for what you have. You know, if we're not thankful for what we got, how can God give us more? You know, that's like, think about your children. If you buy your children something and then they just toss it away and throw it away, put it to the side, then they're like, mommy, can you buy me this thing? Are you going to give it to them? No, you might want to give it to them because you love them and you want to make them happy, but is it best for them? No, because they don't appreciate what they have. And that's what God, and that's what God is trying to show us. Don't worry about what somebody else has. Just be thankful for what you got and continue in your righteous walk. And it says here, through love and faithfulness, verse 6, sin is atoned for through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Key points. Mercy and truth are part of how sin is dealt with. They reflect God's nature. Mercy and truth are part of how sin is dealt with. They reflect God's nature. And that's why it's important for us to deal with things with truth. And also to have mercy on some people. Because we don't know why some people may do some of the things that they do. We don't know somebody's story. And too easily, we want to condemn somebody. Just imagine if God dealt with us that way. We want mercy, but we don't want to give out mercy. And that's what God said. We got to have some mercy. We got to have some grace with people. And too often, we don't want to have grace. We don't want to have mercy. They did you wrong, you want to do them the same way. We become what we despise. Then it says, a small amount gained righteously is better than large gains from injustice. And then it says, God values honest scales, symbolizing fairness and integrity in business. See, that's verse 11. We didn't even get to that. Lessons here, and we're going to close on this one. Live and lead with honesty, faithfulness, and justice, even when it costs, even when it hurts, even when it don't feel good, even when it feels sometimes they don't even deserve it. Because we want the same thing from God. And we would like the same thing from someone else if we made a mistake. And this is what God is telling us. And then it says, the fear of God should guide how we make decisions. And I replace that fear with love. I replace that fear with love. That's what it is. It's a fear. It's a love that you don't want to disappoint. You know, I say, I make decisions now based on how it's going to affect the people who I say I love. So if you love God, you honor God, the decisions you make, is it going to honor God or is it going to dishonor God? That's how you show his love. That's why Jesus said, I only do what the Father does. Because he does what honors God. And that's the same thing God. That's why I say, there's some things I used to do that I have no desire to do no more. And transparency. Not that I don't have no desire, because the desire is still there. But I choose not to do it because it would dishonor the Lord who I say I love, the people who I say I love, and would take me down the path that would take me away from where I'm trying to go. So it's not that the desire is not there, the desire is there. But I'm taking control of myself to not allow my desire to supersede what I need to do. Amen? So that's why it's going to be so important for us to really grab hold and make sure that your joy, and your peace come from within, not for that. Not for those things that you desire. You know, because see, that's where the enemy attempts you at. He attempts you with your desires, those things that without. But if it's within you, he can tempt you with something that he don't have no power over. And that's how Jesus superseded him. He couldn't tempt Jesus with anything because everything resided over Jesus on the inside. He had the world on the inside. His peace was on the inside. His joy was on the inside through his relationship with God. And that's the same thing God wants us to have. That's where we have that authority. That's where our power comes from. It don't come from ourselves. We don't have it in ourselves. We have it through our relationship with him. And that's the important part right there. So with that, family, I'm going to stop right there. We stopped at verse 8, and we're going to continue on next week. And I pray that you'll be a part of what we're doing here. This Sunday, we're going to have veteran service here. So if you got veterans in your family, you know someone who are veteran, have them come be a part of it. We also have men's fellowship this Saturday. So men, come be a part of our men's fellowship this Saturday, 10 o'clock, 10 to 12. And Pastor Bruce is, you on Saturday, right? Not for the status? Okay. Pastor Bruce is not on this Saturday, but next Saturday, be a part of Pastor Bruce's class. It's an awesome class. Come be a part, because we're in the end times and God wants you to be prepared. Don't get caught off guard. Don't get caught with your candle out when God's telling you how to keep your candle lit. Amen? So with that, I want to say God bless you. We love you here at The Harvest. On behalf of Dr. Williams, First Lady, and The Harvest family, and all its members, we want to say God bless you. We love you. Have a blessed night.